I've read many fine books this year, but my recommendation of the year happens to be the latest book I've read. It's The Power by British author Naomi Alderman. The Power is a work of speculative fiction in current time. But first, a word of warning. Men, this might hurt a little. The premise of The Power is that adolescent girls all over the world suddenly discover that they can send shocks of electricity through their fingers. A possible genetic byproduct of chemicals used in World War II is one speculation, a latent organ that finally turned on, so to speak. If you can imagine how people, men, women, politicians, pundits, the church, would react to this in real life, well, you get the picture. You get this book. Alderman describes the reaction. They separated the boys from the girls on the fifth day. Already, there were parents telling their boys not to go out alone, not to stray too far. Boys-only buses took them safely to boys-only schools. But for girls, it had not been so simple. Television pundits are saying, lock them all up, maximum security. It is as far as anyone can tell of all the girls of about 15 years old. As near to all as makes no difference. They can't lock all of them up. It makes no sense. Still, people are asking for it. The story is told from the viewpoint of an African reporter, a young man named Tunde, an ambitious American politician, Margot, a teenage runaway named Allie, and the daughter of a British crime boss, Roxy. Alderman's book is not the best written book I've read all year, but it was the most provocative. I keep returning to it in my mind, mostly because of the steady stream of headlines about sexual assault and misconduct by high-powered, high-profile men in the news. Alderman does a nice job of providing perspectives from all over the world. I cheered when women held hostage for sex trafficking in Moldova used their power to escape their captors. Parts of the book are grisly. Alderman has a knack for zeroing in on how rotten people can be. This isn't a happy story, and as you might guess, there really can be no happy ending. There are writers who do this kind of story better, like Margaret Atwood, and in fact, this novel has been called by reviewers The Hunger Games crossed with The Handmaid's Tale. If this book sounds like too much science fiction for your tastes, aside from the occurrence of the power itself, it is surprisingly realistic. And after a while, the power becomes secondary, almost commonplace. Most of the story stays focused on the four main characters, how the world reacts, how the gender and power structures shift, and what those with any kind of power do to gain or keep power. Alderman's ultimate message is that any kind of power corrupts and corrodes societies everywhere. I can take it away. I can take it away. We put out a question on our What We're Reading group asking what your book recommendation for the year is, and we heard from a few people. Carolyn recommends A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Tolles. It's the story of Count Alexander Rostov, who is sentenced to house arrest in a hotel across from the Kremlin, witnessing the tumultuous 1920s Moscow from his window. Kate recommends Carrie Fisher's memoir, The Princess Diarist. Fisher opens up about her life on and off the set of the first Star Wars movie and how she dealt with her sudden fame afterwards. The Black House trilogy by Peter May is Charlie's recommendation of the year. Detective Finn MacLeod investigates a murder in his birthplace on the Isle of Lewis in Scotland. Let us know your top book recommendations for the year. You can email us at comments@kaxe.org or join our KAXE KBXE What We're Reading group on Facebook. Finally, we've got a new installment of our new feature, Show Me Your Shelf. I invited myself over to the home of super readers, Randy and Kathy McCarty, to talk about their wonderful book collection.
Kath and I started collecting books when we first got married 44 years ago. We're both big literary people. And I think what we've decided over the years is you keep the good stuff and you toss the stuff that's, you know, if you don't want to come back and reread it again. So over the course of the years, we've accumulated, we figure somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 books. And a lot of those are uncorrected. A lot of those are first editions. A lot of them are signed, you know. And I think what's happening is that it's become a focal point for us as far as the house is concerned, as far as our friends are concerned. We're involved with the Little Free Library program, so we're able to go ahead and dispense a lot of those books. one of the things I think I see is that there's a lot of people that really, really enjoy reading.
Randy and Kathy have a spacious room with lots of windows and lots of natural light, comfy chairs, and one entire wall is full of bookshelves. And that's just part of the collection.
Kathy spent 19 years with the bookstore, so she does this great job of, you know, alphabetizing everything, obviously. So, for example, this entire wall is strictly fiction. We have some mysteries over here. We've got some science fiction behind us. We've got classics, you know, in the back corner over here. We have language. We have a bunch of different things set up. And then in the other room, it's nonfiction. And that, again, is all over the map. So I think what happens is that we both read just about everything. I like to mix it up between fiction and nonfiction, and then back and forth. And then about once a month, I'll get a wild burro up my saddle and pick up what I call heavy lifting, whether it be Cloud Atlas is a perfect example. It took some serious energy. My project for this next month is the Bible. You know, all these years, I, from a purely literary standpoint, have never read the Bible cover to cover, and I've decided it's time to get done with that. Honestly, now, again, going back to being a bare roots kind of a thing, I was diagnosed with a kidney failure. It's been almost a year now, I guess. So I have to go do my dialysis four times a day, which is a total of 2 hours of every day. It gives me an opportunity to just read. I have nothing better to do. And so reading has been really 2 hours a day. I get to just spend, you know, reading whatever I'd like to read. So it's worked out really, really well. I think what I see is that the dialogue within the community means a lot. You're going to find new authors. And I mentioned the KXE Reading Group. I've been introduced to so many new authors that I would never just pick up. And yet, here you say, okay, let's go ahead and just do this. What's the girl with a knife? And that was just way, way too much fun. And yet, that's a book that I would have said, hey, you know, who cares?
Randy and Kathy are such avid readers, I wanted to know how they handled books they just couldn't get into. Kathy recalls struggling with John Hassler's novel, Grand Opening.
For some reason, it just kind of affected me in an odd way. It must have been an odd time in my life or something. I could not read that book, stuck it back on the shelf, and I still haven't gotten back to it, but I may. I've read other things by John Hassler that I've absolutely adored, but that particular one, couldn't do it.
The thing I think I find here now is that, again, I mentioned, you know, too many books, not enough time. So what I do is actually do a quick, you know, I'll Google the book before I pick it up and look at it and look at the reviews and say, okay, this looks like something I really want to be involved with. It's worth my time and effort. There's an old axiom about the fact that, you know, when you turn 50, you can read a book for 100 pages. And if you've decided after 100 pages, you can dump it. And then, of course, as you get to be 60, that's 25 pages. And then pretty soon, by the time you're 70, they say you can look at a cover. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. But the point being is that if you found yourself with a book that you just can't do, not because it's not well written, but rather just it's something that doesn't do anything for you, then why bother? You know, I mean, life is too short.
With a collection of almost 6,000 books, I had to know what kind of criteria they have for what they keep and what they give away.
I think for quite a while, for both of us, it was like books are our friends, and so you don't give away your friends, you just keep them on the shelf. But then, unfortunately, the collection has grown so wide and taking up so much space in the house that after a while you get a little claustrophobic and you really do need to clean some books out. So I think, for me particularly, I tend to clean out books that are just good for a giggle, and then I'll pass them on. And I pass them on to my sister, and she passes them on to her friend. Then they end up at the hospital on the little hospital cart, so that's a good thing.
The bottom line is that we give away so many books, and Kath always says, well, will we ever get it back? And the answer is, who cares? Good literature should be distributed.
You can see photos of Randy and Kathy's enviable bookshelves on our website at kaxe.org. I'm Tammy Bobrowski, and you've been listening to What We're Reading on Northern Community Radio.
And if the snow buries my neighborhood, and if are crying, then I'll dig a tunnel from my window to yours.
What we're reading is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.